You're listening to the Chances Report on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, joined in the studio, as always, by the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mike Lovell. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Dave.
We're embarking on 2014. I am incredibly surprised how fast 2013 went. And I know that as you wrapped up the end of 2013, you also said goodbye to the graduates, the class of 2013, and you, of course, as chancellor, get to participate in the ceremony.
Sure. It was great. We had over 2,000 students graduate this December, and so, and again, this, I think 2013 represents a record number of graduates we've had, and made a total when you add it to the spring. Over 5,600 students graduated from university, which I think is great for not only Milwaukee but the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, 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 and that runs across the board from bachelor's to doctoral graduates as well.
Yes, exactly. And you know, we had a great audience. I mean, the Solar Arena was completely full. It's really fun, especially to hear, you know, when the graduates' names are announced and how different sections of the audience erupt and cheer for, because it really means a lot to a lot of these families with first-generation students.
Sure.
To have their children or their family members graduate, because it's really a degree for the whole family.
Sure. So I presume you get to speak, but you also had other guest speakers.
Yeah, sure. And each year we do have one of the regents come speak, and this was Tim Higgins, was kind enough to come down and speak. He's from the Appleton area. We also had alumni associate president Dave Miske. It was his first commencement ceremony, and we joked around before. I asked him, what's the biggest group you'd ever spoken from in front of before? And he said 100. So they didn't make me feel comfortable going out to the stage, but having, you know, 8,000 or so people in attendance. But our commencement address, we were very, very fortunate to have Lauren Radke, who was of the class of 1990 out of our business school, come speak. And it was he gave a really, really relevant and direct speech to the students about, you know, where they were in their life and, you know, how they define how they go forward.
So he's a graduate of the class of 1990.
Yeah.
What is he doing now?
Well, he's a partner and managing director of Goldman Sachs in New York City. And so he's done very, very well for himself. And, you know, he's been running their bond division, you know, literally has thousands of people working for him. He's just been remarkable. And he's got a lot of pride in UWM. You know, he grew up on 60th and Capitol, and he defines himself. He's the UWM success story. You know, he came to UWM, did have a scholarship. He attributes the fact that he got a scholarship, I believe it was from GE Healthcare, was and then once he enrolled, he they also helped pay for school along with his scholarship. He had a snow shoveling business, and he tells the story of how I think it was his first finals. There was a big snowstorm during finals week, so he and his roommate, who had this company, shoveled for 28 straight hours. Then he went and took his finals. but then he was fortunate enough to get a second scholarship. I think his junior year, and so he didn't have to do that anymore. But he talked about how UWM really set him on the pathway to success. He then went on to Chicago for his MBA, and has done really amazing things ever since.
I would think that simply because he's younger, so obviously the graduates can relate to him, and he's obviously very successful, his message had to be quite different than the typical kind of commencement address.
And one of the things I thought was neat that he did is he actually wore a lapel mic and walked actually out in front of the podium and with the students, and really had an interactive dialogue with them. And his message was really interesting. He talked about, you know, the road less traveled, you know, the Robert Frost poem. He said, you know, a lot of times they tell you to take the road less traveled, and he said, just ignore the path and create your own. He says, you know, go your own direction. Don't let follow what other people did. You define your own direction. So don't follow anybody else's path, you know, to which be successful. And he also said something that I thought was very, very interesting. He told the story about how he took the position, you know, with Goldman Sachs, and he thought that was the destination. And so he kind of got there, and he said he kind of maybe took his foot off the accelerator a little bit, and because when he had his first performance evaluation, it was actually fairly negative. and he was worried. He really, you know, the message to him was, well, you may want to start thinking about another position or their career.
Wow.
And he talked about how that very night when he got home on his answering machine, there was a message from somebody who had been recruiting him to do something a little bit a different area, a company. And he said he had to make a decision. He could have done the easy thing and just went with the company that he wasn't as passionate about, that position and going in that direction, or he could have done, because he really loved what he did with Goldman Sachs, and he just decided that, you know, he was going to trudge on and just put the time in, so that the destination was not getting the position. The destination is what you define. So you need to keep working hard, even though when you get the job you want. And that's what he told the students. He says, you know, even though you get the job that you want, it doesn't mean you've stopped there. You continue to need to press on. And it was a really good message.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me that the work ethic message is one that, I mean, you know, you're a parent, and so you obviously instill those messages, I'm sure, in your kids. But the road less traveled, I would think that, you know, as a parent, you want your child to be successful. And so maybe advising them to take the road less traveled wouldn't be the kind of thing that a graduate would commonly hear.
Yeah.
But it's obviously worked for him, and it is kind of cool that he's kept touch with the university.
Yeah, and he does. He's got a tremendous amount of pride in UWM, and he really attributes the fact, you know, he had a lot of support, you know, from the business school, from the staff and advisors that in the faculty he had there, and so he's got a real strong relationship with us.
Do you feel that passion as you go around and you talk and you meet with people who've graduated from UWM? Is there that sense? I mean, you think of it, you know, certainly with Ivy League schools and a lot of private schools, there's a lot of that alumni, you know, rah-rah building. Does the same thing apply?
Yeah, I think of Lauren, you know, and he's been, you know, not a real recent graduate, but a fairly recent graduate, was part of the transition as we've gone to more of a traditional university, somebody who lived on campus, even though he grew up, you know, 60th and Capitol. He was in the dorms. He, you know, after sophomore year, he went out and lived in the neighborhood. He does have those strong feelings and those strong ties. And so I think we're finding, you know, again, 40 years ago, we were a commuter school. And so there wasn't that strong. People would, you know, drive to campus, do their classes, then drive home. So they didn't have that connection. I do find that more recent graduates do have those stronger feelings about the campus. And I think they're going to become, you know, alumni that are going to be more tied to the university, like I feel like Lauren is. And so I think it's important that, you know, again, as a campus, we really do everything we can to foster, you know, those feelings. And, you know, I think we talked in the past about new traditions we're doing in ways that they do have those strong feelings.
It's very good. A couple of months ago on this program, you and I were talking about a number of projects, and you mentioned the Northwest Quad. And I had somebody come up to me and said, what is the Northwest Quad? And I explained that it is the old Columbia St. Mary's Hospital, which kind of borders the UWM East Side campus. And a lot of work, I know, has been really going to really bring that whole project online.
Yeah, and going back when we purchased it, you know, we knew that this was an opportunity for us to decompress the Kenwood campus for the first time in 40 years. And I have often referred to it, this is the canvas we're going to paint on for a decade. And we're starting to see some of those pictures come to life now as different parts of the Northwest Quad, you know, get developed. And again, it is 11 buildings, 828,000 square feet. So it's just going to take some time to get it to something that we would like. And we just, you know, last month we had a remarkable ribbon cutting for a greenhouse, a 92,000 square foot greenhouse. And it is going to really transform the way we are going to be able to do research and educate students in the biological sciences.
Now, the thing that I find the most amazing, I mean, you say a greenhouse. We can all kind of picture a greenhouse. But this isn't a greenhouse on the ground someplace tucked in the parking lot. This is on a roof.
Yes, it's on a roof of one of the former buildings of the hospital. And it's really exciting because we had a greenhouse that was down at the Old School for Forest Sciences in one in Lapham Hall, which both of those greenhouses had to be taken down because of the construction project for the new School for Forest Sciences in the Kenwood IRC we have now. And so as those two greenhouses came down, we were able to build a new greenhouse in a pretty unique location, which is exciting. But also, it is now equipped. It's state-of-the-art. It's as good as any greenhouse in the country. And there's some that are bigger, you know, in the U.S., but there's none of that better in terms of technology that we can offer for educating and doing research.
So how is it going to be used?
So, I mean, we literally have thousands of students that'll be a year that'll be taking classes that'll be, you know, learning about the biology and plant life within the greenhouse, because they have so many different They're capable now of growing so many different types of plants, you know, in the greenhouse, but also for research. And we've already had our biological sciences faculty have already been very successful in bringing in federal funds, you know, over $4 million over the last 10 years, and really have 11 faculty that are doing research with a whole cadre of graduate students. But in the old greenhouse, there wasn't much control in terms of the climate, humidity, and CO2 and other things that we just didn't control. Now we have complete control over all of those variables, and so they can do studies much different than they could before, and let alone the fact that the old greenhouse wasn't air-conditioned, so they couldn't do any research in the summer. You know, so you would lose 3 or 4 months a year alone with that. But now, you know, just the level of both the research in education is going to be ramped up a whole step. So when I talk about research funding, just having this facility and having our faculty have access to it, I believe you're going to see a big spike in the research funding for biological sciences.
That's amazing how much money has already been invested in research dollars.
And yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And, you know, understanding, again, the planet's changing, and for us to be able to have some of those same controls in our greenhouse is, you know, when you think about CO, two emissions and all the other things that people worry about, now we can study them. You know, we have a greenhouse that we can really do some special work in.
Right. You're also about ready to bring online a children's learning center. Yeah. What is that about?
Well, you know, the old we have had a children's learning center at UWM for decades, and it was located in the old Kunkel Center, which is kind of on the corner of Kenwood and Maryland Avenue across from the Union. And it was really just an old school that, you know, it really reached its functional lifetime. And the staff, you know, in our children's center are absolutely phenomenal. You know, we have the, you know, arguably the best staff in the whole state in our children's center. And they really did great things in a facility that didn't match up with what the students' needs are or the current teaching pedagogies would show for children. And so I had the great pleasure, again, last month of touring the Children's Learning Center, which is going to be, you know, opening, you know, just right around the corner the first week of January. And it was amazing to see what that is going to do for the students and the faculty involved in our Children's Learning Center. It really is, again, it is a state-of-the-art. It's going to be a great resources, you know, for our students, faculty, and staff, and people in the community that do send their children there. And the one of the neatest things was they've built a treehouse right in the middle of where they're going to be able to tell stories and have play activities. It's just really neat. But each of the classrooms, there was no real gym for the students. Now there was 3 gyms.
Wow.
Yeah, it just the in the playground outside the playgrounds. And this was the old entrance to the emergency room of the old you know, Columbia St. Mary's Hospital. And now it's just really special. You know, so we now have facilities that match, you know, what our staff and are able to do. And so we're very proud of the fact that we were able to transform the hospital into a great learning environment.
Yeah, who would have ever thought that a hospital would be converted in so many different clever ways?
And it's really neat because now they actually have observation areas now so that our education students can then go and observe.
Sure.
And so, again, it's a great educational tool and potential research tool for our School of Education. And again, it's been great that we have the Columbia St. Mary's Hospital site now that we can actually really just it benefits us in so many different ways to have these facilities.
Yeah. You're listening to the Chancellor's Report. Mike Lovell, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is our guest in conversation. I know that beginning next fall, UWM is going to offer a new graduate degree program leading to a Master's of Sustainable Peace Building.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you know, this is a really unique program, and it's really one of the first, if not the first in the country, that is really focusing on student careers in international development, conflict resolution, and resource stewardship. And so it's really, this is, again, about the fact that the world is becoming smaller, and we can have an impact on other parts of the world and really helping us utilize the resources of the globe in a really effective way. And have our students to have the opportunity. I think last month we talked about how we had honored some of our alumni, and we had the ambassador to Iceland and all the amazing things that he had done. And when I first heard about this program, he was the first person I thought of because there wasn't a program like this available to him. He was an economics major, but this is something that we're going to build people just like him through this program, and they're going to go out and they're going to change the world. And one of the really unique parts about the program is they take long-term internships to places around the world to go and implement what they're learning, you know. And so they'll go for 6 to 8 weeks, really, to places like Central America and Africa and East Africa. And it's just a state-of-the-art program. And again, I don't think there's another place in the country that is offering something in this way. And when we had the kickoff for it, you know, I got to go and speak, and I was very excited when I learned about it because it's a really transformational type program. The room was absolutely full of students. It was packed. There was not a single seat available, and there were students from every discipline across the campus. This is appealing to, again, something that would appeal to a great number of people. And I really want to give a lot of credit to Tim Ellinger and Rob Basigliano from our Biological Sciences Department and Institute of World Affairs, who really kicked this off. And also we had some support with Julie Kohler, who's provided funds to start the program to really get it going. And I'm seeing so many ways that it can make a difference. And just, again, going back to just at the end of December, we had the former president of Nigeria come to UWM and visit, and he gave a talk. And it was very clear that the synergy that the programs that are going to be developed are going to be, you know, in this area about our interaction. So having this new relationship with Nigeria, with the former president, and the things he's going to open up for our students and faculty to make these trips and to do things that are making a difference in the villages and the other areas, you know, it's really going to be special.
Yeah. How do ideas like this bubble up to the point where they become leading to a master's degree? I don't think people understand that. I certainly don't.
Yeah, well, you know, it really comes from, most of the time, it comes from the ground level. You know, it's really the faculty that see that there's opportunities. And, you know, again, this is, you know, I've described our faculty as being the most innovative entrepreneurial that I've ever come across. And this is another example. They've recognized, look, you know, we can do something that's going to benefit our students on our campus, but also going to benefit people across the world by developing something like this. And so, you know, when we hear about something and as they write the program up, and there certainly goes through some governance process where, you know, it gets vetted by their faculty, but then you see that it gains momentum, you know, and then the campus gets behind it. And so certainly when I found out and the details about it, you know, I couldn't be prouder of us doing something like this, because again, not only will it change wherever our students and faculty go to implement the program, but think about how it will change the lives. There's so many students on our campus that have never left the state of Wisconsin, let alone left the country. And to have them, give them the opportunity to spend 8 weeks in Nigeria or in Kenya or places that they would have never, could ever imagine have ever been before, you know, that's really neat.
Yeah. I'm always a little bit jealous that students who are now participating in university programs, not only here in Wisconsin but elsewhere, there's almost an expectation now that students are going to study abroad and they're going to, you know, be engaged in programs like this or many others. And that wasn't always the case. But, boy, what a great kind of eye-opening experience for somebody who may normally have never left Wisconsin, for example.
Yeah. And again, I think it's one of the things, again, how does this happen? Well, I think our faculty and really our campus recognizes that we need to be training our students to be global citizens, because that's, no matter what field they go into, they're going to interact with people across the globe.
Sure. Because the world's
and you know, it's funny because we were talking on the way down here how small the world has become. And as I met the former president of Nigeria, his energy secretary was a good friend and colleague of mine back in Pittsburgh, and we ran research centers. And so you think about that. Think how small the world is. Is the person that he tabbed to be his energy secretary is somebody that I worked with for almost 10 years in Pittsburgh, and you know, was very close to.
Yeah, it is a small world. So as you wrapped up the old year, there were obviously a lot of opportunities to celebrate, and I know that you and your family celebrated the athletic traditions at UWM.
We had an absolutely phenomenal fall sports at UWM. All three of our fall sports teams, men's and women's soccer and women's volleyball, all won the Horizon League and went to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it's a tradition, you know, that we started, that teams that win the Horizon League, we host at the house for dinner, which is always a special time, you know, for us. And, you know, again, getting back to, you know, what makes UWM special in terms of athletics. You know, why do we have Division I athletics? Obviously, first is, you know, it's great for us to build pride and support, you know, for the campus. And it's a good place to connect externally with both our alumni and getting our students engaged. But we're really building leaders. And when I think about the women's soccer, women's volleyball team who we had over at the end of December, as the semester was wrapping up, they couldn't be two better representatives of our campus. Mm. Our women's soccer team has gone to the NCAA tournament for 6 straight years, and they had a 3.5 grade point average as a team. I read the list. I think we had eight or nine of the members have a 3.8 grade point average or higher, and these are in difficult majors. They're not taking real easy majors, and so. And again,
how do they have the time to practice and study?
That's what's
and
amazing.
Excel?
That's what's amazing about them is they are really dedicated to their studies, and it's really a culture. In women's volleyball, they actually had almost a 3.6 grade point average. It was even better, and it was neat, you know, for them. So, and it's really interesting. I've kind of an interesting story. So, I love to talk about our sports teams because they really highlight, you know, who we are, institution that, you know. That our sports programs are also, in terms of our graduation retention rates, the highest cohort on our campus. You know, mm-hmm. we have a graduation rate of 40%, 42% of the general population. It's over 80%, about 84%. It's almost double, you know, mm-hmm. in the athletic programs. And I recently was visiting a foundation, and I'd not met the CEO of the foundation before going in, and good news is he's listening to the show, and he has some listeners. And he said to me, there's the face behind the voice, because he's right. Obviously heard my voice. And he said, you know, the very first thing he said to me, he says, you know, I really got to go see a women's soccer game. So because I've talked about them, because we highlight their point of pride. And so our athletics, obviously we're proud of them, you know, on the field, and they won the 3 championships as well. We're also proud of what they stand for and what they do in the classroom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that really is it's an amazing accomplishment, and kudos to them. The end of the year, I know you all, we were as a university, saying goodbye to UW Assistant President Kevin Riley, and you had an opportunity to participate in his farewell.
Yeah, and it was a really nice reception. It was tied into the Board of Regents meeting in December, and there was a couple of neat things that we had done for him as chancellors is they recorded a message from all of us. They asked us all questions, and so they had kind of pieced together a bunch of things that we'd said. It was kind of, a lot of it was joking, a little bit was serious.
Sure.
And we finished up. We all read a lines from a poem for him, and it was from one of his favorite poems. And so, you know, I think it meant a lot to Kevin. And one of the nice things, you know, he had brought all the chancellors. He had brought us all in, and so you know, so for us, you know, we all had a special connection to him because he had been the second longest standing system president ever, and so you know, all the chancellors there, you know, he'd hired 31 chancellors altogether for the 13 schools, so he'd hired a lot of us.
Now we knew how he spent his time.
yeah. So it was a nice reception to honor, you know, his contribution. And one thing I think, you know, that I realized after traveling to Washington, D.C. As part of something called the Business Higher Ed Forum. It's a group that I'm now become part of. It's system presidents, university presidents, but also CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. And as I have been taking part in this forum, I realize how well respected the UW system is and how respected Kevin was nationally, you know, for the work that he'd done, you know, to create a strong system. He's moving on to his next set. He's going to be advisor to the president of American Council on Education, ACE, and he's also going to be going to the faculty at UW-Madison and doing some teaching as well. And so I'm excited for him moving to his next chapter of life. And, you know, I will be getting a new boss probably in the next week or so. So I'm anxious to see who that is selected.
I bet you are. Speaking about you, congratulations indeed. Two very special honors for you. First of all, being named a fellow to the National Academy of Inventors, and then also an honorable mention for Milwaukee Business Journal Executive of the Year. The National Academy of Inventors, how does the Chancellor of UWM get named to that position?
Well, I think a couple of things. You know, obviously when I was in Pittsburgh, you know, I was still acting as a faculty member, and I had I've had quite a few patents that I've had and inventions, and I've had started some of my own companies. So that has been in my background and what I've cared about a lot in terms of innovation entrepreneurship. But also this also recognizes individuals that also promote and enhance innovation in entrepreneurship and things that go on college campuses as well. And so I think some of the work that I did back in Pittsburgh and also have done here, you know, is an indication that at least I feel proud to be recognized. And it's not just been myself. I always say these awards really represent the great things that are happening at the institutions that I'm representing as well. And, you know, none of these things happen in a vacuum. And so, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with some great people and have the opportunity to be part of some great programs that were developed. And when I think about the class that I was inducted in with, it's just been amazing, you know, that I believe that the number of patents that total for the class, we had just a little over 100 of us, it's over 5,000 patents. Wow. we represent. And, you know, some of the people that have been, you know, there's been nine, that represents, I'm in a class with nine Nobel laureates, five Lemelson MIT Prize recipients, and just can go on and on about this group. And so I feel very proud to be part of this class.
Yeah. Does it like re-energize you? I mean, do you, in some respect, I know you've really brought a sense of innovation to the university campus, but you're not in that hands-on mode
now.
Yeah.
You know, and I oftentimes I get jealous of some of the faculty we have. You know, I tell, you know, the class that I used to teach is now taught by Ilyavdi from engineering, Nathaniel Stern from Peck School of the Arts. And I get jealous when they talk about all the great projects that the students are doing and they're involved with and how they keep getting better every year. And I think, boy, I would love to be back part of that again.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And then the Milwaukee Business Journal honor, I think, speaks to really your involvement and the university's impact in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. And again, this is something I think it represents some of the great things that are going on our campus. And, you know, the executive of the year this year was Paul Jones, who I work very closely with, author of the Water Council, and very well-deserving of this. And I was joking around, well, he's retiring now, so maybe I have a better chance next year. It is important that the university is recognized by the Business Journal, you know, it just in general as being a good partner, you know, for them. And I think that when I got the honor, the one thing that they highlighted that we've been really good at is the way we've interfaced with industry and the impact we're making on developing the local and state's economy. And so those are things, obviously, that are very important, you know, to me personally and to the, I think, to the people on our campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really are trying to be relevant in solving the many, many problems and challenges the city and the state faces.
So in the couple of minutes that we have left, do you make New Year's resolutions? Do you look to the future? What's on your mind as you enter the new year?
Well, I think, you know, one of the big things when we talk about looking forward with the new year, you know, one of the things that we are in the silent phase of a campaign. And, you know, this year is really the foundational year in terms of fundraising. And, you know, I have one of my big personal goals is to actually, you know, set a new record at UWM for fundraising. And, you know, the number I have is around $40 million, you know, would be the amount we're trying to raise. And I think it's very important, too, as we raise those funds, and we go back to the Lauren Radke story, which I mentioned earlier, that he was able to get not one but two scholarships, and look at where it projected him and his career and what he's doing now. It's very, very important, you know, to me personally, and I think for the campus and to the students that we're trying to attract, to be able to offer more scholarships. And the fundraising is really going to focus on that. And so, you know, the goal of mine is really to try to do my best to you know, hit the targets that we've set for ourselves. And I know it's ambitious, but hopefully we're going to sit here after June 30th, and I'm going to tell you that we beat $40 million.
All right. Yeah. We'll play the tape back, if nothing.
Okay.
Well, Happy New Year to you and continued success, and we look forward to talking to you again next month.
Oh, thanks a lot, Dave.
Mike Lovell is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he joins us every month for the Chancellor's Report here on WUWM. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.